Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed.
Mm.
Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter at jwright929ESPN. X, the Everything app. It's all happening on X. You can always listen on the radio, dial 92.9 FM or 680 AM, but we're also streaming not only on the Odyssey app, but you can also hear us on the TuneIn Radio app as well as iHeartRadio. George Ruggiero is the producer of the program. You can follow him on X at KingGeorge94. George, good day, sir.
Good day, Jeffrey.
A man that keeps just racking up the frequent flyer miles. He, of course, is the host of VSiN's College Football Tailgate Betting Show. I tuned in on Saturday. You should do so too. It now starts at a brand new time. We're now teeing it up at 9 Central time. Or maybe it's 8 Central. You're teeing it up your time at 7, correct?
I'm teeing it up at 6 a.m. Vegas time.
So 8 Central. Okay.
Yes, sir.
8 a.m. Central. Of course, the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. You can see him on VSiN Primetime on the Everything app at 1 Tim Murray. Tim, good day, sir.
Hello, sir.
Are you flying the same airlines? Like, you could be kind of close to some status, right? You could be looking at some upgrades here, maybe.
I've flown 3 different airlines.
There you go. That's smart.
Yeah, so we've done Hawaiian, we've done JetBlue, and now we've done we did Southwest to fly home yesterday.
None of which share any points.
No. Yeah. So, fortunately, I was able to expense the Hawaiian flight, obviously, because that was a business endeavor. The other,
well, yeah, but there's nothing better than expensing and getting the points.
Oh, of course. No, I was very happy to do that. The flight to Fort Lauderdale was more of a let's figure out how I can maneuver some points here. So I don't know if we're accruing points, but regardless, my trip in January was more enjoyable than my trip in late August to lovely FedEx, or what are we, Hard Rock Stadium there.
Yeah, the FedEx Orange Bowl. I think now maybe it's Capital One Orange Bowl. I think we used to sponsor that. I say we as if I'm a card-carrying member of the company, but like, let's be real. I will say this. Of the teams that had the tough loss in week one, I did not come away thinking less about Notre Dame in that game.
I think that's fair. There were certainly some things that annoyed me. I think play calling one was definitely one that was not ideal. I thought the lines would play a little bit better, but I would say of the four teams that you're alluding to, Texas, Clemson, Bama, Notre Dame, I think that's fair. I did come away very impressed by Miami. However, Crystal Ball's going to do it again this year.
It's unreal. Like, I...
He tried to do it. Like, he tried on Sunday night. Miami was the better team on Sunday night, not like dominant, not Florida State, Bama dominant, TCU, North Carolina dominant.
Well, I mean, nobody was, even no. Florida State wasn't that dominant.
No, that was fun. But I'm sitting there, and I was up in the nosebleeds, man. Who, brother? They put the Notre Dame fans up, way up there. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, is this dude really going to play for a 47-yard field goal right now?
With a kicker that allegedly wasn't even, like, the kicker?
He was 2 of 7 last year at Florida Atlantic, 0 for 4 from 40 to 49 a year ago. But to his credit, he banged it, and they won the game. But, man, I was like, he's going to do it again. He's going to blow this game. And he damn near tried. But ultimately, Miami won, and I think Miami deserved to win. I think they were the better team, and they got some dudes, man. They got some dudes on that squad.
They're both lines of scrimmage. Even on television, you're like, oh, those guys are animals.
That kid, Reuben Bain, I need to go back and watch it because that guy felt like he was everywhere. And those final two plays when they just pinned their ears back, we're like, we're going to go get that kid. Yeah, they got him.
Yeah, I mean, credit to basically the defensive line said, hey, Mario, we got you. We'll try to keep you from making decisions that could end this game. So we'll get into some week one. We'll get back into our college football weekly awards. I've added a couple of new categories. Tim, you don't obviously have to be prepared for this because I've got plenty of stuff that I've wanted to add. So we'll get into that. Looking forward to that. We'll get into the list during the second hour. It's official. Memphis and Arkansas are playing an unofficial game. So we've got that in college basketball. The Micah Parsons drama is kind of getting aggravating, but we'll discuss that and more. Maybe take a look at the lines coming up for this week because we got another week of college football. But I think let's start first with just some overreactions from week one. And I know I'd asked you last week, are we certain that this is going to be the best week one ever? And like you, I think far too often we forget history and act like we're prisoners of the moment. I don't know how you can say there was a better week one than what we just had.
Just looking at, I mean, look, Notre Dame, Miami, I was there, maybe prisoner of the moment. I thought the Miami fans, they weren't as crazy as 2017, if you recall that game.
Sure.
That game was, I was not there for that one. That was something. But they were very good. I give them credit. Now, they won't show up for, like, the rest of the games, so I'm sure that'll be a sight to see. But I thought the Miami fans were good. I mean, look, Clemson, LSU, like, that was a game, man. Like,
Would you agree with this? We had two low-scoring games on Saturday in the high-profile spot. One of the games was incredibly boring. The other was gripping, and you could not look away. And I think you know which one I'm referring to.
LSU Clemson was an awesome football game.
I don't like that. To me, was great defense. That was guys still making plays because it wasn't, even though it was low scoring, it wasn't just a punt fest of both teams being afraid. Like they were trying to make plays. It's just the other guys also got to make plays.
I'm a bit worried about Clemson's offense, but I am not worried about that defense. That defense, boy, that is as good as advertised. But it's another situation to me where I came away from the LSU Clemson game saying LSU's got themselves a defense and they've got a quarterback. Like Nussmeier, while you know, he didn't throw for 450 or anything like that, that's the best defense.
No,
is that the best defense he's going to face all year? I mean, if you add in
when would they play Texas? Like they'd only play Texas in the title game if they did. That's the one because I'm with you. I've been kind of a well documented Nussmeier skeptic. That's the first time I watched him play start to finish, and I was like, he looks different. He was in complete command. He did not put the ball up in jeopardy. And then when it came down to the wire of, hey, this is what's going to happen. Sometimes you're going to have to go make some throws and make some plays. He was just ready for the moment. And I just could not have been more impressed with anyone. I don't care that his stat line wasn't the most like eye-popping. I thought in terms of biggest stage, toughest opponent, I thought he played the best quarterback I saw all weekend.
I agree. You know, look, there were some really you know, I thought the kid for Cal, we can get to that later.
We got problems.
In what regard?
I have the under win total.
Oh, yeah, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
That team's good.
Yeah.
And you know who's not good? Oregon State.
No, my only solace was did you stay up late to watch on the CW? Did you watch Washington State as well?
So I was sitting at the Centurion Club at the Vegas airport,
yeah,
trying to keep tabs on as many games as possible. The Idaho-Washington State game did not make the rotation of my computer.
They could not find that one. My only solace on that is Oregon State and Washington State might be that bad, and I'm open to that, but he is electric. Like, he is going to be a problem.
In a good way.
Yes.
Yeah, I think... That
in
was
fact,
one of the
it was
more...
so impressive. I was like, I know what he's doing. He's, hey, I'm going to go play at Cal, and I'm going to play, which I kind of respect, and then he's going to open that bad boy up again. But, man, I kept thinking, I was like, man, if that guy's at Oregon, I feel a lot better about Oregon.
Yeah. Yeah, that kid was, you know, we talked a lot about these debuts, and granted, Ty Simpson played on the road at Florida State. C.J. Carr played on the road at Miami. Arch Manning played on the road at Ohio State, and that kid played, you know, in Corvallis,
right,
against a pretty bad team, but damn, that kid was impressive.
It was unbelievable. I mean,
as impressive as my dog, Devin Dampier, though, baby.
No, Devin. And Eck was in his bag with, I don't think I've ever seen the fake tush push fumble rooski pass, but we now have. Thought that was one of the more creative trick plays that we've seen. I thought this was interesting. I don't think he'll get mad at me. He'll probably say it on Friday. So Topmeyer was calling, or Topmeyer was covering the Ohio State Texas game on, mm-hmm, on Saturday. And so whenever you cover a game that starts at 11 a.m., that also, like, if it weren't for the fourth quarter, that game I felt like could have been over in 2 hours and 20 minutes. Like, that thing was hauling ass. So he's finished with work. He's all done. He's like, yeah, I went to go get dinner. It's the life of being a sports writer. You're like, you're on the dinner. You go to you find a bar that you can post up at that'll have TVs and has decent enough food. And he was just blown away. He's like, we have a top 10 game between LSU and Clemson. That is a great game. It was great to watch. And he's like, everyone in this place is just glued to Michigan and New Mexico. And it just makes me believe, like, I think for a while, the Ohio State-Michigan, that whole rivalry kind of got overrated. Like, in 06, when it was like 1-2, 4-all, like, I think that thing was overrated. What Harbaugh has done to that rivalry, the whole, like, Ohio State having to deal with, like, losing to them, it's the best rivalry in the sport right now, and I have no problem being a Southerner admitting that. Like, it makes me remember all that I love about college football, which is just two insane people not doing what they would do under any other circumstances, but they can't help themselves.
I didn't catch much. That's on my to-do list of watching some of the clips from Michigan and New Mexico, because New Mexico kind of played half decent in that game. And I don't know if that's an indictment on Michigan, if they were just kind of, hey, we got Oklahoma next week, let's take care of business and get out of here. And then on the flip side, is it a situation where, you know, this New Mexico team, deep cut, they just brought everyone from like a really good FCS program in Idaho, and they might not be terrible, especially in a pretty crappy conference.
I left thinking a couple of things. Michigan jumped on them and kind of put the game away early, like to the point where I never really thought New Mexico was going to win. But where I give New Mexico credit, they did not quit. And they're also a team that you probably, like, that's a tough team to prepare for, because they were just throwing everything at you, and it allowed them to have a couple of scores and whatnot. But I thought Underwood looked pretty good. I thought Michigan looked physical. It was one of those ones where I just think that was New Mexico kind of emptying the bag, and Michigan knowing, like, in the end, like, hey, man, the game that matters a whole lot more is next Saturday. The biggest thing to come out of that, though, is the defensive guy. The targeting ejection is going to be upheld in this first half against Oklahoma.
Yeah, and that in Sharon Moore, I listened to him, and yeah, he was none too pleased, and I kind of understand.
I just hate targeting in general. Like it's the classic: we are doing this so we don't get sued, but we'll never come out and say it. And it's like, I have no problem with you. Like,
I don't know, if you want to kick someone out of a game, fine. If he throws punches and you want to suspend him for he made a tackle.
It's a collision sport
on a short quarterback, and he turned his head too. He didn't like go in spearheading him. So yeah, Jayshon Barham is out for the first half. That's going to be pretty significant there. I don't know, man. Like, you know me on, I think I had a little bit of validation on the Arch Manning like love affair, in the sense that I was like, I think he's got to be good, but can we pump the brakes a little bit? And I've kind of got the same thing going for Mateer. I'm like, I think he's good.
Oh, I'm glad you bring that up. I got some numbers for you. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay. See if you can guess what these numbers mean. 96th, 107th, 132. 130, 105, 89, 77, 50, 92, ooh, here's a low one, 36, and 95.
I'm going to say the defenses that John Mateer has played against.
Those are the SP Plus defensive rankings of the teams that John Mateer has played against.
Yep.
And again, he's looked pretty good. But this idea that, listen, if Oklahoma made the decision that in the end we're walking away from Jackson Arnold because we don't think he can make throws, fine.
Sure. And I understand the decision to go with Mateer and Arbuckle, the OC, QB.
Combo, yeah.
Combo. Like, it makes sense. Like, Utah's done it. We've seen other programs do it. It makes sense to do that. But what I was just hesitant on is, like, can we pump the brakes on handing him the Heisman? And I even saw it yesterday or over the weekend. I was like, oh, buddy, here we go. John Mateer. I'm like, they're playing nobody.
They played Illinois State, who's a decent FCS team. By the way, when you were on air, I did send you three plays, two of which hit. And I think the one that didn't was the one that you took.
Hold on, which one was that? I'm going to look back.
So my three plays that I said.
Oh, there it goes. Oh, South Dakota State. Yep, you were wrong.
Yep.
North Dakota, I took the wrong Dakota.
Okay.
And Illinois State, 39. There you go. Nice.
I took all three. I'll take two and one.
Can't go broke when making a profit.
Listen, like, that's the other thing. Because getting to your Arch Manning point, I also thought about this. I think Arch is more overexposed than he is overhyped. And here's what I mean. Most of the reasonable people that talk about football for a living have all said some variation of the same thing. Man, this guy has unique traits. He obviously comes from a pedigree of pedigrees. The sample size is small, but what we've seen is good. And then almost everyone would be like, we'll find out. But I think the bigger problem is whether or not you want it. Like, I mean, I think that was the stat. In the, like, late into the second quarter, Arch had more adds than he did completions. Because he added the Warby Parker one. And so, like, I just don't. Because then when people throw, well, he was the Heisman favorite, and I was like, that's sports books going, who is the team? Who's the number one team? Who is the quarterback? And he's got a famous last name. I don't think of that as hype. I think of that as like minimizing risk from a sportsbook perspective.
Yeah. When people kind of start to venture into that territory and they're not too familiar with why he is
right
the favorite, it's like, well, because yeah, they're trying, they're not dummies. They're not in the business for hanging bad numbers, and they'll hang a lower number because people will bet it.
Correct. It limits their exposure.
Right. And it's like, and look, there's a chance Arch Manning could still win the Heisman Trophy.
You know what, though?
I don't think he will.
No,
but
No, you know what, though? I think he's the first person that's lost it in game one. I don't think he's going to. I think
he
it was
so many opportunities still.
I know, but I still think. I still think it was so jarring that I think it's going to get forgotten about. It, even when he plays well, in the back of everyone's mind, it's kind of that, even though it wasn't the quote-unquote first impression because he had other games, it was his first, like, real impression, and everybody watched the game. And let's be very clear, like, I'm not going to be the arch apologist here. He was bad. Now, I have a couple
I think Ohio State's defense is good.
Well, there was a couple of things. I also think this is true. I think Sark was bad. I think I understand what they were doing. They sat there and said, Caleb Downs is on this side of the field. We have to avoid him. But I think they also kind of like psyched themselves out. And let's be clear, Caleb Downs is an absolute animal. I mean, just an unbelievable football player. Like, even one of the plays that kind of decides the game is him closing on a crossing route that looked like was going to be open for a first down and just making an unbelievable tackle. So he is a great player. I also think, though, I could not figure out what their game plan was, because it felt like everything they were asking Arch to do was difficult, and then it also felt like there's no question Patricia absolutely was in his bag. He was doing provocative things in the secondary, like stuff that would have fooled just about any quarterback.
I should apologize to Matt Patricia.
You can do it later.
I ended up picking Ohio State. I bet on Ohio State, one of my few winners of the weekend, because I just got to the point. We talked about this on Friday. I'm like,
absolutely.
Really? Are we really doing this? Like,
if it weren't for the syndicate, I was ready to be all over them.
So, and it wasn't, look, did at the end of the game, I get a little nervous. And I'm like, Ohio State's offense is not doing anything. And look, the postgame win expectancy for Ohio State, as I look at it on my notes.
82%. I'm sorry. Yeah. No. For Texas
is with 82%.
Correct.
Ohio State's postgame win expectancy was 17.8%.
Now, I also want to be very clear, because I love to make fun of Ryan Day. I think that number gets inflated because Ryan Day knew he coached a good game, in that once they got up that second score, they were saying, we are not going to do anything that gives them points because our defense is playing that good. They're lights out. He won the game. That's the goal. Move on. I do think that kind of flipped the numbers. But this brings me to my next point. We got to start bringing back taking some points. We've jumped the shark on being ultra aggressive in the mathematics. Like, I understand math, people. I understand probability. Despite being in a media field, I'm not someone that hates math. I know what the numbers say. I also understand this sport is incredibly psychological and it is incredibly physical. And sometimes the numbers do not reflect what happens to a team. I was fine with the fourth and one at the fourth and one at whatever, the 1 yard line, like whatever. You got to make them go 99. Even Ohio State got a couple of first downs. They still got the ball back in pretty good field position. I'm fine with that because you are literally making the team have to go the other way. But can we also acknowledge what happens to a football team when you don't punch it in there? It is absolutely deflating. And by the way, how would you have been feeling with the Ohio State ticket if that score was 14-13 when Texas got the ball back?
Not great. And it didn't hurt them. But if we go to LSU Clemson, the end of that first half was a disaster. And it didn't bite them. I don't know. I'm curious. Fourth and two from the Clemson 12. Kick the field goal.
Well, my other thing is, that's the end of the half one always gets me, because part of when everyone goes, what do you want us to do? The card said go for it. Part of it at the end of the going for it is that you give the ball
correct
to the team in bad field position. That was an end of the half situation. Also, I guess Clemson was getting the ball back and whatnot. I guess but the thing that I didn't understand is they have no timeouts. I do think what was happening was Nussmeier was calling his own play and he was trying to get it set up. But the thing that I'm sitting there going is, you're going for this and you're essentially running a slip screen that's not going to score what was the idea? You get the first, spike it, and I guess you had one shot to the end zone? Like, I didn't understand, like, what the thought process was. But I got you another one. I understand this team got physically mauled, and I'm not trying to take anything away from Florida State. Alabama was settling in a little bit defensively. If they take two field goals instead of two turnovers on downs, Alabama, that touchdown would have been to cut it to two. And now all of a sudden, Florida State's playing a little bit differently. They never had to play without the lead. And I think that's what gets left out of all the number stuff is this sport does have a psychological and mental element.
Yeah, what, you're 4th and 7 from the Florida State 28 at the end of the third quarter, and you turn it over on downs there, and what was the other one I'm trying to remember? Oh, early in the third quarter?
Yes.
Early in the third quarter. I mean, you were at the 36, so that's a 53-yarder. But it is funny because when they scored to cut it to 24-17, I was like, ooh. They might let
and I give
State mine.
And I give Norvell credit. Like, he did put his nuts on the line. They went for it on 4th and 1. I also think, though, it wasn't nearly as gutty as everyone's thinking. They had to get like half of a yard. And was there anyone that was saying, you know what, Alabama's defense is still kind of like bowing up here? Like, I do think they had settled in and they had, but like they were not, I did not think they were stopping a 4th and 1.
No.
Which might bring us to the other overreaction. Do they have a talent problem, or do they have a, like, is, I have forever and ever thought Saban is the greatest coach. He's a tremendous motivator, but like what I give him in terms of credit is his teams largely played the same week to week, down to down, game to game. I also cannot ignore that if he really thought Alabama could field the best teams or the level of teams that he would need to win national championships, I still think he's the Alabama coach. I think it's in this universe he knows that Alabama's not Alabama.
I think there is some truth to that. However, they've been a top three recruiting team for a long time. They've got enough talent. They should not go into Florida State and get punked.
It's where I am willing to say, okay, this is a DeBoer problem as well, because the thing that was so alarming, Tim, that team like kind of quit. And now I give Florida State credit. Florida State put the hurting on him and said, we're going to make you quit, and they did. But like the effort was so pathetic in the second half at times that I don't even know like what I didn't really know what to say.
I mean, there are a couple things. So I tweeted this out on during the game. That is the 4th time in 14 games that Alabama has lost as a 2-touchdown favorite.
All, of course, to unranked teams.
As Brett McMurphy also kind of expounded on that, under Saban, Alabama was 131-2 as a favorite of at least 14 points. Straight up, not talking against the spread. DeBoer is now 4-4. I get it. There's the Alabama tax. Florida State was probably underrated. But the fact is, Alabama has now lost to Vanderbilt as a 23-point favorite. Oklahoma as a 14-point favorite, Michigan as a 16.5-point favorite, and now Florida State as a 14-point favorite. And in two of them, they got punked, Oklahoma and Florida State.
Well, and honestly, in the Vanderbilt game,
I mean, they were down big, and then they tried to come back, right?
Well, I mean, on top of that, like, they couldn't stop the run. Vanderbilt got the ball. Alabama scores to cut it to 6, I believe, and they had, I think, 2 timeouts. So they can get a stop and get the ball back, and Vanderbilt just ran out the clock. It was like two first downs, game over. But I mean, this is kind of the other thing I've been kicking around. And so Sankey, the SEC AD, talks about the connections between college football as a sport to Premier League soccer. And what I think he's actually stumbled on is he was trying to use it as an example of building the best brand in European soccer, where there's a lot of teams that are spread out in different leagues. And, you know, it's not just everyone plays European soccer. They all have different leagues. I think the SEC right now is the Premier League in the 2010s. And this would be, for those that don't know, I'll break it down like this. The Premier League in the 2010s, top to bottom, was the best league in terms of depth, quality of teams, support, money, everything. But because you had this insanely competitive league, you did not have a system designed where in La Liga, it was all built around, all right, Real Madrid's got way more than everybody. Barcelona's kind of bringing up the rear. At times, Atletico Madrid has come up, and like they've had a couple other flash in the pans. But in the reality, it's like those two teams, everything is geared towards, and the rest of the leagues are just kind of cashing a check. Well, what has also happened now, the only two teams in my mind that in this universe can actually financially compete with the top of the top are Texas and Texas A&M. And historically, those are two programs that have done the least with the most throughout the sport. And now you've got this legacy brand, kind of like Man United in that decade, where it's like they've not adjusted to the times. Maybe they can't max out. And because of that, like, you've brought them down to the pack, and I don't know if they can get to the top.
So who is that in regards to?
Bama.
Yeah.
Georgia's this weird, I don't know. LSU, I think, is kind of what LSU's always been, where at certain times they can get it together. Usually it's tied to the price of oil, and then they can kind of make a run, but they struggle to like build the sustain. Like, it's like they'll make a run, but they're not going to be like Alabama, where they're part of the story every single year.
I'm not ready to get there yet, but man, for a team that I was super duper high on, there wasn't a result this weekend that was more surprising, in my opinion.
I think it was the way it played out. And Stephen Godfrey, one of my buddies, had a great line on the show that he does for Yahoo with Andy Staples and Ross Dellinger. Alabama fans and Gus, it's like a horror franchise. And you really did think like, okay, it's finally over, but like you're on Leprechaun 10 and it's like an airlock spaceship. And there you see Gus with his visor and his grin. And you're just like, oh my God, he's back.
Bruce Pearl's out there tweeting out pictures of the Gus bus.
And I mean, I give Norvell credit. A lot of people were like, really? The Gus Malzahn offense, like, it's passed him by. And I told you this because you and I think we're similar. When Ryan Day went to hire Chip Kelly, and that was getting mocked because the game's quote-unquote passed him by, you and I were both like, I still like this guy to call plays. Like, I don't know if I want him running the program in this era, especially if it has high standards. But if it's just calling ball plays and you handle everything else, I think Gus showed he still got it.
He does, man. And I tell you what, I mean, the ACC became a whole lot more interesting based off of this weekend. Miami looks like the real deal. Clemson, you've got some questions about. Florida State, it's got some moxie to them. Georgia Tech played a really poor game, still found a way to win and cover. So
he should have taken an A.
I was so mad I didn't take Colorado, and then I saw that touchdown. I was like, okay, I feel better now.
I think he was too tired to take a knee. I've never seen a guy score a game winner. Like, he literally scored the game winner, and then he looked like Russell Crowe at the end of Gladiator. Like, it's like he was just like, it's done. Like, Like, free the army, hand everything back to the Senate. I'm out of here.
I don't know anything about Gardner Webb, but I really want to bet him this weekend because Georgia Tech plays Gardner Webb, and next week they play at they host Clemson.
Oh, I can already tell you this. This is going to be a week of some nasty dogs, and I'm either just going to like. No.
I already bet Louisiana Tech plus 38. They play LSU, so buckle up, baby. I got some ugly ones coming, and we'll see.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll get into the awards of the week. We got our team of the week, our Heisman, our week one Heisman winner, most heavy-handed narrative. We're also going to do stock up, stock down, maybe some places we want to double down. What we got right, what we got wrong, most college football moment of the week, as well as our dumpster fire of the week. We'll do all that when we come back right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM. Yes.
Skip the gym, not the workout. With Hydro, you get a full body workout in just 20 minutes, hitting 86% of your muscles in one smooth, low-impact motion. And now there's a new Hydro Arc, Hydro's most advanced rower yet. Arc introduces Hydro Metrics, tracking your power, endurance, and precision every time you row, so you can actually see your progress. Go to Hydro.com and use code FIT to get $100 off any Hydro rower, including Arc. That's H-Y-D-R-O. OW.com. Code FIT.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. PNC's apply, in app only.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
We're recapping a great week one of college football, and it's time to get into our weekly awards that we do during football season. And Tim, I'll start with you. Do you have a team of the week?
Ooh, I think there's some good candidates out there. I'll go LSU, man. I think they deserve it. To go into Clemson, hostile environment, knowing that they hadn't won a week one game since 2019. They're down at halftime. They fumble right before the end of the half. And I was really impressed. And look, I'm not a big BK guy. I think he's a good coach. I wish him nothing but the worst down there at LSU.
Well, you did get at least the moment of the referee
Running him over.
Hilarious.
And it was
entirely his fault. And then he got up in the most Brian Kelly way, like, and just started berating the ref. It's like, that was on you, buddy.
But I'll give it to LSU, man. I know you and I like to go kind of off the radar sometimes, but you could have gone Florida State, 14-point underdog, winning in the fashion that they did, but I'm going to go LSU. I think the pressure that they put on themselves going into that game, you saw the report that they had put, like, Peter Woods and,
yep,
and Parker on like blocking sleds. I'm like, oh, this is going to end poorly. And you know what? They were the better team and they should have won by more, to be honest. So I'll give it to LSU.
I got no problem with that. When you consider the stakes on the road, what a great environment. I think we're going to bully Clemson into understanding the part of your entrance that we think is cool is not the bus.
Can I just want to jump in here real quick.
Yep.
So you and I are college football nerds, and we love this sport. I think a lot of listeners are too. If you're not a college football nerd, I got no problem with that. Week one is a great week for the sport to showcase the uniqueness of the sport, kind of the wackiness of it. My issue is, and they will remain unnamed, but they are multiple media personalities in the D.C. area who, D.C. is a pro sport town, and that's fine. But don't tweet out, hey, did you guys know they do this bus thing? I'm mm-hmm. like, oh my God, just keep it to yourself. Just keep it to your, you don't need, you look like a dope. Like, it's like, hey, I don't watch this sport except for week one. This thing's weird. It's like, yeah, they've been doing that for a while. So I just had to get that off my chest.
No, they're
my friends, and they're good at their jobs. They like to talk more pro sports than college. That's fair. Just keep it to yourself.
Well, it gets into the same game. There's the flip side of this. There is also the college football fan that doesn't watch the NFL. And on the Barry and Brown catch, there are a lot of people that acted like we've not gone through this in the NFL, which is, what is a catch? For whatever reason, the definition of a catch is more difficult to define in the NFL than it is in college football. But to your point, also, LSU could have easily let that call that went against them, like, impact them. They didn't. They just kept going.
And
like, it was. I agree that they were impressive. I had a little different team of the week. You ready?
Okay. Yep.
I think the team of the week was the haters this week, because it was just a great weekend for just being an absolute hater. If you were an arch hater, if you were a Tennessee fan watching Nico, Belichick, like, the haters really had a great weekend. Bama hatred. I mean, you've now got Bama being bullied into, like, wondering if, like, is college football fun anymore? Like, yeah, listen, guys, this is what everybody else has gone through. So welcome to our life. But I thought this was a huge weekend for the haters.
It's good. Yeah. I mean, I got a couple in my mentions, certainly about Notre Dame. I mean, there's always going to be Notre Dame haters, so they get it done too. Now, the Mario haters, unfortunately, they had to wait back a little bit. But we'll get our time. We'll get our time.
See, this was how I viewed it. I viewed it the same thing as South Carolina. I knew. Sometimes it's when knowing to, like, when to play your fade. And, like, this one called for a draw. Like, this is like, I'm going to work this ball right to left. Like, I'm taking South Carolina because I really think that poorly of Virginia Tech. More on them in a moment.
Oh.
But it's the same thing. It's like, I actually wanted Miami to win that game because it's going to make it even more hilarious when you actually get the moment where maybe some injuries set in and Miami's not at full strength, and then Mario has to actually manage the clock. Like, it's going to be great.
Oh, yeah. No.
Hang in there.
They'll have their moment. Now, I do think, as we alluded to a little bit earlier, that D-line was like, don't worry, coach. You can't mess this up when we just bum-rush the hell out of these tackles and make this freshman be like, ah! And throw the ball out of bounds.
Yeah. I mean, I'll say this, though. I think oftentimes it only takes, like, one of those guys getting hurt.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Or, like, missing a week or two. I'm not saying, like, I'm rooting for a season-ending injury, but it's like, this is a physical game, and these guys oftentimes play all of them.
This Miami team had Cam Ward at quarterback last year, walked into the swamp and obliterated them in week one, and found ways to lose to Georgia Tech and Syracuse down the stretch. So don't worry. It probably will come.
And I do think their defense is improved. Yes. I still think that second, like, you started, I kind of understood what Denbrock was doing. And this is the other problem is, and we're going to get into this. I'm quietly optimistic that people are going to start. I think the RPO is going to start getting reexamined, because I think what's happened is all these guys, everything's RPO, everything's RPO. And so you're sitting there, you wind up with Love getting, what was it, like, six touches until the third quarter.
Yeah, it was something outrageous. And then Marcus Freeman basically said post-game, yeah, we told him, just start giving the ball to Love.
Yes, and so I think that's going to start to happen. But also, I still think that Miami secondary, if they go up against a real passing attack, I think that, now granted, you're going to have to block them up. And I don't know how many teams can actually do that on Miami's schedule. But in terms of like being a national title contender, I think there are some, I think there are going to be some plays to be made in that secondary. So my week one Heisman winner, I said this, I don't care about his numbers, and I know that this was maybe not the most wildly impressive statistical performance of the weekend. I just could not have been more impressed with Garrett Nussmeier. I thought he played darn near a perfect football game, and he was the leader that you needed his team to be, did not make some of the YOLO plays that he did. Like, I just, God. And then in the second half, he just made some big boy throws, and I think that's kind of what you need in if you're going to be that type of team, that type of real contender.
He looked every bit the part of an elite quarterback, and I've kind of been with you where I was more in the Cade Klubnik camp than I was the Nussmeier camp, and I was definitely more impressed by Nussmeier, the poise, and just made smart plays, man. And that was, yeah, I think Nussmeier definitely was impressive. If you want to go a little bit further down, let's circle back to the guy that we mentioned in week earlier on the show. To go out there on the road, and I know it's not a crazy, crazy environment, and, you know, first off, he won a job that we thought was going to go to Devin Brown.
Yep.
And this kid,
I think Devin Brown thought I was going to Devin Brown.
Right. I'm not going to transfer to Cal if I'm not going to win the starting job. He transfers in, and the name that we will completely butcher for a long time, and I'm going to butcher it right now, Jaron Kiwi Sagapaluti.
So
JKS.
So we looked, George and I did the pronunciation. I believe it's Kive. I think it comes, it's a, like that.
I need to call my sources in Hawaii. We'll get it.
And then it's the Samoan, so it's like Sang, there's like a
Sagapaluti.
I think it's Sagapalua or whatever.
I need to ask my colleague Stormy Bonantoni was on the sidelines, and I need to talk to her because I'm curious if what the coaches were thinking heading into this game. Like, you guys don't know. You don't know what.
All right,
what we
so
got.
I think I can. That's the thing. I have to read it. So it's Jaron Kiwi Saga. It's like Sagapaluatule. Sagapaluatue. Sagapaluatue. I think that's how you say it.
But he was good, man. He was impressive.
Let's be real. It's just JKS.
Yeah. Let's just make JKS a thing.
Yeah, that's going to be it. Okay, now to our next category, most heavy-handed narrative. This might have been, maybe you were doing things on your Sunday. Tim, I believe, was traveling on his Sunday. Lenora Sellers is not going to be the number one pick. Can we stop it? Like, we started the broadcast with it. It's not a thing. He is a phenomenal college football player that is fun. He is not nearly accurate enough to be taken number one. And then everyone's like, Anthony Richardson got drafted number one. Guys, Anthony Richardson was 10 times the passer that Lenora Sellers is. It was also a tough graphic because
Brent Pry is not the guy.
Oh, no. So Giannotto used to cover Virginia Tech for the Post.
Mm-hmm.
And so he always just kind of would keep tabs, because that oftentimes happens with schools that used to cover. Like, you just kind of, you know people, you keep tabs. And he showed me at the ACC media days when Brent Pry did that stunt where he acted like he answered his phone, like, just got some good news, just picked up a recruit. I looked at him, I go, that is a defensive coordinator. That is not a head coach. This is not going to work. Because, yeah, by the way, they were so gettable. South Carolina was so gettable in that game.
Oh, my God. Yes, they were. They didn't do anything. And then you give up a punt return for a touchdown. Of course, Beamer ball strikes with the sun. And I'm watching that game, keeping tabs on it as we're trying to make our way to the stadium for Notre Dame-Miami. And I'm just like, can you do anything? It's like the gif of the guy with the stick. Like, hey, you going to do anything here? Like, come on. But I tell you what, I will say this has nothing to do with the heavy-handed narrative. I think Nick Harbor might be figuring out how to play football, and that's a scary thing. That dude is a freakazoid.
Somebody is going to draft him way too high in the NFL draft.
Sure.
And I'm going to, like, that guy does everything you want a receiver to do except catch the ball. Because, like, that was the thing. We even had
that
another
was a touchdown, too.
Well, like, we had that, but it's like, you know, that should have been a pretty easy standard catch. Like, just go up and make it. And he, like, you can tell, like, he just doesn't trust his hands. But God, is he fast. Oh, my God, is he fast.
They got
so fast.
I mean, I'll say this, and I think I'm stealing this line. I think it was Andy Staples or Ari on their podcast who mentioned it. They have three dudes, if you include Lenora Sellers, that are just freakazoids.
Oh, they are the combine. But I also think they're the guys that, like, get NFL staffs fired. Like, they look the part. And you know their measurables. Everything. Tests off the charts. But it's like, man, in the game, I just am not impressed with any of them.
Dylan Stewart might.
Oh,
might.
Dylan's in a different category.
Yeah, I was going to
say. Dylan plays a position that just being, like, twitchy and whatnot, like, that matters.
You're going to see some moments this year be like, oh, good God, that's terrifying.
All right, stock up. So these can be teams, whatnot. I honestly didn't expect to think this. One of my biggest stock up team, or I think it's the ACC. I think that league has got some top-end teams that are actually, like, good.
Yeah, I mean, you look at Florida State and Miami, both of those teams. I thought Clemson would win this conference, and I still think they will, but I definitely don't have the same conviction. And the betting market agrees. All offseason, it was just a steady stream of money in on Clemson, and now they're, like, plus 150. So
I also think Florida State, like, as a, like, awesome of a way to start a season as you can have, I do have some concerns of if they go up against a Clemson and if they go up against a Miami where those teams can actually control the line of scrimmage. Like, I do have some, like, questions of, can you really win a game throwing 14 passes?
Well, and I think, too, what's going to be interesting is,
and maybe the answer is yes, by the way. I'll give Florida State before they jump at me. Maybe the answer is yes. I have the same questions about Auburn, who was awesome on Friday.
They were very good, and I was mad at myself for not betting Auburn. I had some smart people in my life who liked Auburn, some smart people who liked Baylor. I was like, ah, I'm just going to stay off of it. And the side that I thought was going to be more athletic ended up being that side. I'll say this quickly about Florida State. So they play nobody the next 2 weeks. They play an FCS team on Saturday, bye week, and then they play an FCS team in Kent State. Yes, they're in the MAC, but they're essentially an FCS team. They go to Virginia.
By the way, that's
1-0
Kent State to you.
That is true. Shout out to Mary Mac. Good cover.
Mm-hmm. They almost won outright. They should have probably.
Kent State had a kick return, with like 3 minutes ago? I saw it flash 7 on Saturday morning. I'm like, wait, what? Kent State's laying 7 against humans? How is this possible? And it was right. Circle this night, Friday, September 26th. 3-0 Florida State, probably margin of victory 50 per game. Virginia might not suck.
What if Coastal really sucks?
I think Coastal really does suck.
Coastal might be a disaster.
They might. Yes.
But yes, I do agree with you. Virginia looked, even like when they've had some decent moments of like somewhat competency under Elliott, they did look less like.
But doesn't that just feel the week before Miami, you go to Charlottesville, nighttime, give me 7 or just give me some points. I'll be on the who's there on that Friday night. But yeah, I agree. I think I agree overall the ACC is definitely, for all the crap that they've taken, I'm not out on Clemson. I still think they're elite defensively. I think LSU's just a better team.
I think Miami, they had a better offense. I think those were two elite defenses, and one offense was better.
I'll say this.
Well, and you know what else? LSU, you know what? Well, LSU stock should also be up. LSU can run the football this year.
Yeah, that Durham kid's pretty good.
That was another big difference in that game is that Clemson, like, LSU got to pin their ears back because they're like, you cannot run the football on us.
Yeah, I think that's an overlooked Phil Maffa being gone.
Yes.
Even though he was like a seventh-round pick.
But
that's
still,
a big loss.
It was a
man.
Guy that could at least keep it moving.
Because he's just a bowling ball that would just destroy people. I don't know how much eyes you had on this one. I imagine a decent amount since of where you sit, and I believe your sister station's the flagship. I think Syracuse might suck, but
I
thought Tennessee was better than I expected. I was kind of out on Tennessee. I was like, this is pretty impressive. And, you know, I think you and I both had our questions about Joey Aguilar. It kind of feels like, all right, Nico, go do your thing out in the West Coast in front of 20,000 people. We'll just plug and play someone here.
So my concerns with Tennessee are they're now starting to get really banged up on defense, and I think that that is a team that's going to have to be carried by their defense. I thought they ran the ball really well, and if you ask Aguilar to hit wide-open receivers, he can do that. I just left feeling the same way, though. Tennessee covered and got it home. I think Syracuse might be, like, bad, bad.
I hope they are, because that's one of my biggest positions to an under on the year. And who do they play? They play someone. Oh, they play UConn this week. Watch out for the Huskies.
All right, stock down, obviously, Bama. But my other thing, like, on stock down is, Tim, I'm very worried about the state of offensive line play in the year 2025 of our Lord. I think, because I've been telling people, there's kind of like a anthropology angle to this. I'm seeing this throughout when I cover high school football. The number of kids that are playing football is way down, and I think what is happening is a lot of the kind of the beefy guys that would play offensive line, they're playing other sports, and I think what is just happening is defensive line play is just pure size, strength, size, like just who's the better athlete at that size. And everybody's having to go to the portal to get the line because they know we have holes. Like, I just wonder if offensive line play this year is going to be a real problem.
I should have said stock up for the American.
Yeah, it was a good weekend for the American.
Good weekend for the American because massive stock down for Mountain West. That conference might suck. And, like, you might have a weird team win that conference this year. I still think Boise probably wins it because they're just better.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. They can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.